In his free time, Ben set out to uncover the cavern's secrets. First, there was the question of the trigger the Hidden One was supposed to have that would collapse the tunnel leading to the surface. It had been said that the Hidden One could activate it through the Force or by physical action. Ben set out to find where that trigger was. When the largest hall was empty, he searched the Hidden One's throne and the platform it rested on. It took him mere moments to find what he was looking for. The throne, though seemingly cut from a single block of white stone, was not. Close examination showed that it was assembled from several pieces, their seams so fine and patterns so well matched that the deception was undetectable by anyone more than a few centimeters away. The right armrest lifted outward on hinges, and beneath it was a single button, round, black, inset in a red depression. That had to be it. But Ben frowned at the discovery. Would a paranoid mind be content with one easily disabled trigger for his ultimate act? Ben restored the armrest to its closed position and sat on the platform next to the throne. He dared not sit on the throne itself. The Hidden One, a Force user, was even more likely to detect that he had been there if he rested in the seat of power. Ben relaxed, letting the Force flow through him. He thought of nothing but the trigger beside him, seeking anything related to it. Images, flashes of insight about the future. Up. Ben looked upward. He saw only shadows in the irregular stone ceiling 4 meters up, but something there had all but called him. He stood, stepped onto the throne armrest he had so recently closed, and sprang upward, giving himself a little boost in the Force. In the ceiling, directly over the throne, his fingers gripped either side of a hole, about the size of a human head, cut into the stone. He hung there a few moments as his eyes adjusted to the reduced light. Then he saw it. A polished durasteel cylinder protruding 20 centimeters from the rock above. Ben concentrated on it, trying to obtain through the Force some sense of how it worked. He could feel its length, nearly another meter inset in the stone, and machinery above it, simple mechanical parts made of durable metals. It was simple, all right. Drive the cylinder home, like a plunger, and contact with something above it would relay the signal to detonate the charges in the entry tunnel. Without being able to look at the device, Ben doubted he would be able to disable it. Thoughtful, he dropped back to the platform. In the hall where he regularly trained in combat against Chara, he found another such apparatus in the ceiling. And in the dormitory where he, Luke, and 4 male Keldor slept, another. The next day, Ben determined that every chamber of any significant size had one of these triggering devices in it. The Hidden One was clearly determined to be able to seal these caverns if he felt the need. Later that day, Luke joined the audience for combat training. Not many Keldors were in attendance. Chara was on hand. Ithia, the female who had been beside Ben's canister upon his arrival in the caverns, led the proceedings. A Keldor male, younger than the others, merely sat and watched. Ben went a few minutes against Chara, staff against staff. Chara was still more experienced with the weapon, but Ben was able to defend himself longer and get in more good blows than when he'd first faced Charsay Saul. Next, Ithia took the combat ring against Chara. They were obviously opponents of many years' acquaintance, for Ithia immediately matched her combat style to Chara's. Ithia was more fluid and evasive, Chara more aggressive and direct. The contrast was a pretty one, and Ben enjoyed watching the proceedings. Luke spoke to the young Keldor observing the sparring. "I'm Luke Skywalker." The youth glanced at him, uncomfortable.
"I am Wiss."
"You're younger than most of the Keldor here." Wiss nodded, his attention back on Ithia and Chara. He unconsciously leaned away from Luke as if hoping the man would just leave him alone.
"Will you be training?"
Wiss shook his head.
"I am not a sage. I am a servant."
"But you could still learn. You're obviously interested."
"As in life, so in death."
That statement, so obviously a quote, so evidently a tolerated rather than a welcome philosophy, if Wiss's tone was any indication, drew Ben's attention. He turned to watch his father and the Keldor. Luke frowned. "What does that mean?"
"It means that, in death, you should be content with preserving the skills you had in life, but should not worry about acquiring new ones."
That's the custom here? Whis nodded again. Luke turned away from the boy, obviously deliberating what he had just heard. Ben returned his attention to the practice. Ultimately, Chara won each of his three matches against Ithia. When they were done, Ithia laughed.
I am out of practice, Chara.
Chara gave her what, among Keldors, must have been considered a sympathetic smile.
I think so. In the old days, you would have had at least two of those matches.
He turned to Luke.
Will you be sparring?
Luke shook his head.
Not today. Too sore from shoveling. Tomorrow, perhaps.
I look forward to it.
Moments later, Chara and Ithia departed, headed for the Sanisteem, and Whis followed them out, leaving Luke and Ben alone. Ben gave his father a suspicious look.
Too sore from shoveling?
Perhaps too sick of shoveling would have been more correct. Ben, they just gave us the answers we needed here.
Did they? The servant, Whis?
He had one of them, and Ithia the other. Luke stood. I need to get word to the Hidden One. I'd like for all the Keldor in these caverns to be present for our renaming ceremony. Ben stood.
We're choosing new names?
No.
Oh, that's sad. I was looking forward to being Sparky.
Sounds like a name for a monkey lizard.
And you could be Grandmaster Wango Mitfool.
Not in this lifetime.